my fill of this generation, who all say my faith needs transformation, but I'll just keep walking in the old past that led me this far. The Bible is plain, it needs no revision, no need to recover from my decision. You can't change my mind, it's settled deep down in my heart. I'm staying in.
Yes, I'm staying in.
And I'll finish this race.
I'll finish this race. Not by my own strength, but by my Savior's
mercy and grace. My course was
set the night I got saved,
and I'll not turn back, there's too much at stake. Things may look hopeless, but we're gonna win, so I'm staying in.
I'm staying in.
You said for being faithful, if you'll take a stand, you're being hateful. This old world despises the very life that we live. Too many rules, too much separation, but I'm free from sin with no condemnation. I'd rather have Jesus than anything that this world can give. I'm staying in.
Yes, I'm staying in.
I'll finish this race.
I'll finish this race. Not by my own strength, but by my Savior's
mercy and grace. My course was
set the night I got saved, and I'll not turn back, there's too much at stake. Things may look hopeless, but we're gonna win,
so I'm staying in.
I'm staying in.
I'm staying in.
Yes, I'm staying in.
I'll finish this race.
I'll finish this race.
Not by my own strength, but by my Savior's
mercy and grace.
My course was
set the night I got saved, and I'll not turn back, there's too much at stake. Things may look hopeless, but we're gonna win,
so I'm staying in.
I'm staying in.
I'm staying in.
I'm staying in. I'm staying in.
No matter what I may face, no matter what comes my way, no matter what the future holds, my God is in control. Come what may.
Good morning. Glad everybody could be here today. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for what you're doing in our lives. Lord, I thank you for another opportunity to worship you openly. Lord, I ask that you be with our government, our local and state and federal government, Lord, that you will have your will and way in their life. And Lord, as your word says, you steer their hearts like a river. Lord, we ask that it would be steered towards you and not towards the wrong way. We thank you for what you're going to do. Bless the service today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's all stand and turn to 234. I know whom I have believed.
I know his wondrous grace to me he hath made known, nor why unworthy Christ in love redeemed for his own. But I know whom I have believed and have persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not how his saving faith to me nor how believing in his word brought peace within my heart. But I know whom I have believed and have persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not how the Spirit moves, convicting men of sin, revealing Jesus through his word, creating faith in him. But I know whom I have believed and have persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not when my Lord should come, at night or noonday fair, nor if I walk the veil with him or meet him in the air. I know whom I have believed and have persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day.
Amen. You may be seated. Turn over to 246. 246. There is a fountain.
There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath the flood, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains. And sinners plunge beneath the flood, lose all guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And thee, I, though vile is he, washed all my sins away. Washed all my sins away. Washed all my sins away. May I, though vile is he, washed all my sins away. Dear dying lamb, my precious blood shall never lose its power. Tell all the ransomed church of God, be saved, you sin no more. Be saved, you sin no more. Be saved, you sin no more. Tell all the ransomed church of God, be saved, you sin no more.
I'm the last.
There in a nobler, sweeter song, I'll sing thy power to say, than this poor stammering time lies dormant in the grave. My son. Grave lies silent in the grave. When this poor lips beat stammering time,
amen. Thank you for your singing. All right. Glad everybody could be here today. Our announcements. Wednesday, July 22nd, Bible preaching and prayer at 7. Thursday, July 23rd, all blitz out, flyer distribution, area-wide canvassing for VBS at 6 p.m. Saturday, July 25th, church-wide operation, saturation, and soul winning, but we'll be doing the flyer blitz of that one also. Everyone is encouraged to come out and help. Sunday, July 26th, kickoff Sunday for the annual VBS and penny offerings starting the PM. Monday and through Wednesday, July 27th through the 29th, we'll have our VBS. Saturday, August 1st, the Sportsman's Clinic in Hastings, Nebraska. If you need more details, please talk to Brother Glore. And then the August 4th through 6th is the Youth Con trip, and the teens will be going to Heartland in Oklahoma. And please be in prayer for that. And then Sunday, August 23rd, back to school promotion Sunday with snow cones for all. And then tonight we'll be have a VBS organization meeting. Please be prepared to stay and sign up to help. And so that's all of the announcements.
Good. Well, I hope you all had a good week. The Lord's been good. He's good all the time, you know. He takes care of us and everything. I had my truck put in the body shop to get some work done on it from a self-inflicted wound. But I backed out of my driveway and pulled off the bumper and bent everything up. I did it myself, so guess what? Insurance don't pay for anything. But anyway, so I got that back this week. So it's been a good week for me. I get to drive my truck again. I didn't bring it today because my air conditioner is a 240 air conditioner, two windows down, 40 miles an hour. It was kind of warm out there. I let Brother Martin try it out yesterday, and it was warm. But anyway, this morning we are going to be in Luke's Gospel, chapter 7. Luke's Gospel, chapter 7. I hope your week went well. God is good. He takes care of us. He blesses in ways that sometimes we don't even understand. This morning we are going to be looking here in the book of Luke in chapter 7. The first part of chapter 7, we talked, the Lord there was in Capernaum, and he was ran into a man that had a need, and this man was a centurion, and he talked to the Jewish leaders there and asked them if the Lord couldn't do something for his servant. And we find through this story, the servant is sick. He's at the point of death. He's ready to die in verse 2. And we see that Jesus talked to the elders, and the elders explained to him how important this centurion was to them. This man had built him a synagogue. This man was taking care of the Jews. He was protecting them from the Roman rule and different things like that. And they felt that this man was worthy of something to be done for him. And so the Lord comes and says, well, you know, I suppose he looked at the situation. I know that he knew exactly everything. He's God. He knew what was going on and everything. And I believe that he felt that this is a good time to show the Jews something. And we find out that the Lord, tells him that he would come. And the Bible tells us there in verse 6 of chapter 7, that when Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, wasn't far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter in under my roof. He ran into a man here that had some, he was a leader, and he had some belief of faith in God, and he just realized that he wasn't worthy for the Lord to even come into his house. And so he tells the Lord in verse 7 says, wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee. He didn't even feel worthy to come unto him. That's why he asked the Jews to do it for him. He says, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. He had enough faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that he asked the Lord, just speak the word, and I know my servant's going to be healed. And so the Bible says and tells us here, and like I say, I believe the Lord was able to use this to the scribes, the Pharisees, the Jews that came to him. He said, in verse 8, he's for I also, the man is telling the Lord, he says, this is the reason why I believe this. He says, for I also am a man set under authority. In other words, he had an authority, having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith on, not in Israel. So he's turning around to the Jews here and he says, I wanted to see this type of faith in you. I wanted you to realize that I'm the Savior, I'm the Messiah that came into this world. But this man, who's not an Israelite, who's not a Jew, and he is one that is a Gentile, whom the Jews didn't even consider the Gentiles, and considered them dogs and things like that. He says, here's a man that has faith. He says, I have not found this type of faith in all of Israel. I hadn't seen this. And so the Lord says in verse 10, he says, and they that were sent returning to the house found the servant whole that had been sick. So the Lord spoke the word and the man was healed. He's God. All he had to do is speak the word. And sometimes I think we need to realize what a powerful God we have. He is a God that he can handle things. There's times sometimes when I just don't know what to do. I can't figure out the things that might come up or different things. What am I going to do about this? And we're actually, you know, be kind of begin to maybe worry about something. Don't need to do that. We just need to cast all of our cares upon him because he cares for us. He's going to speak the word and he's going to take care of those things. And so there's a lot of times I know my wife and I, we talk about it a lot that we don't know what's going to happen. What's going to happen? How she's feeling or different things like this. And I said, but God does. I'm sure she's very tired of hearing, but God does. Don't worry. God's going to take care of it. And so, but we do have to have our faith and trust in him. And I believe this man was something special. And so the Lord gave us that. Luke wrote it down. He thought this would be an important thing that we needed to know about the Lord and these things. And he wrote this down in the book of Luke here. Now, the next thing is I find interesting. And verse 11 says, and it came to pass the day after that he went into the city of Nain. Many of his disciples went with him and much people. So he's moving on here. Now, Nain is about 6 miles south of Nazareth. 6 miles south of Nazareth. And Capernaum, where he was about 20 miles to the southwest of Capernaum. So he's made his journey this day after this happened. I don't know what time it was, but he made almost a 20-mile journey to this little town here of Nain. And it says, not only did he make the move, but also his disciples went with him, and in much people. And so but we see back here in verse 10, and says they were sent, returned to the house, and the man was found sick. But the people were amazed at what happened. Now, these people did not see the servant healed. I mean, they didn't see it. They went with the Lord. They were following him. Of course, had a pretty good journey here, 20 miles. So they were on their journey. I don't know what they talked about. The Bible doesn't tell us. I'm sure he had some discussion about faith and how this man's faith just marveled him. And he wanted the other people to understand that. Now they come to a city, Nain here. It tells us like 20 miles away. And it says in verse 12, now when he came nigh unto the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother. And she was a widow. And much people of the city were with her. So here we see, he comes to the gate, and there's a death procession going on. Now, before the first part of the chapter, the servant of the centurion, he was sick, near to death. Now, the Lord's going to show him here something. He can even take care of the dead. And as we read through this, I think of Brother Chitty last week, as he was talking about being in that body bag, you know, on that helicopter. You know, I thought, wow, what a comparison here. God wasn't finished with him yet. God had many things for Brother Chitty to do yet. And he's going to change his life completely. And I'm wondering sometimes as I read through this, I wonder if there was a reason why this man, all the scriptures I looked through, all of the mentions of our books that I have in history, as far as Josephus and everything, never found out who this man was. He's just a man here, a young man, that his mother was there. And the Bible says that she was a widow. That means she had no husband. This was her only son. So she was left destitute in those days. She had nothing. I mean, this was all she had was this young man. And the Bible says here in verse 14, it says, and he came and touched the bier. And back up, verse 13. You ought to read 13 before we read 14. Okay, that makes a little bit more sense that way. And it says, and when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her. It's the difference. He had compassion. He looked at her and he felt her sorrow. You know, God looks upon us and he feels he feels compassionate for us. He knows we're sinners, only saved by grace. He had compassion for me when I was lost. He had compassion for Brother Chitty when he was lost. He had compassion for you when you were lost in your sins. He had compassion. The one thing that creates, we see in all the miracles, the great miracles that the Lord did, he was moved with compassion. When he looked upon Jerusalem, he was moved with compassion. We can read a little bit. We're going to be reading a few places here about Jairus' daughter and also Lazarus when he's raised. We're going to see that the reason for these things is because God was moved with compassion. I'm glad that God has compassion for us. And people say sometimes that the Lord did the miracles to show show that he was deity, show that he was God. Or he worked the miracle to show his authority that he had. He worked miracles to show that he was bringing in a new dispensation. All these things. But none of those are the reason why he did it. The reason why he did it was because he had compassion. And we find out that tells us in the book of Matthew, chapter 12. Matthew 12. And Matthew 12 and verse 40 and 41. I knew it was on that page. All right. It says here, for as Jonah was in the, let's look back up to one verse before this. And it says, verse 38 says, then certain of the scribes and the Pharisees answering, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seek after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. And so he's telling them here, all these things, miracles he did, is not because to show them a sign. Because there was only going to be one sign that was going to prove who he was. He said the prophet Jonas, for as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the well's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And so that's how he's going to show him. And the Ninevites shall arise in judgment and shall judge this generation. And this generation shall be condemned because they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here. And so he's telling them he's here. He's greater than Jonas. He's going to show them the resurrection was the proof of his deity. The resurrection is the proof of who he was. And so So that's why I believe here in Luke chapter 7 that he was filled with compassion. I'm so glad that we have a compassionate God. There's just so many times we see in the scripture as we see that he's been compassionate to us. I think of Brother Chitty. He lived a terrible life before he accepted Christ as his Savior. I can imagine, because I have seen people in that situation, and it's just terrible life to live. But one day, God had compassion on him, just like he had compassion on me. I was going so many different ways before I accepted Christ. I was 21 years old before I accepted Christ, and I tried a lot of things. I tried the Marine Corps. I tried different things to try to make me feel better and to be able to get through life and different things like that. But it wasn't till the day that I heard the gospel message. And you know, the first time I heard the gospel message was in high school, when a guy that lockered right next to me, his name was Steve Moore. Steve Moore was a very good a good football player, and I was not a good football player. But anyway, he lockered right next to me. But he was the president of the Christian Christian Association of Athletes, whatever the name of it is, but he was the president of that. And he one day stopped me and asked me, did I know Jesus Christ as my Savior? And he talked to me. Well, the reason why I remember Steve Moore so much, it hit me pretty hard sometimes in practice and everything. He tackled me pretty good. He's a big guy. But anyway, not only that, but Steve Moore went on and played for Wichita State football. And he was a linebacker for them. He was a running back in high school, but he was a linebacker. And Steve Moore died in the plane crash in Colorado. And he was on that team. That was going to be a team that was, they were going to go quite a ways in football that year, Wichita State. But Steve was on there. But anyway, I remember him. The second time I was witnessed to by somebody was a little black, short, little black guy that was in the Marine Corps. I can't remember his name. I think it was Luke. But I remember Luke real well, because everybody called him the preacher. I mean, he was going around telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ, and he had a gold tooth. And I could remember that so well. And I heard the message, and I thought, well, that's not for me. I'm a Catholic. I'm okay. I kept telling myself, I'm okay. It wasn't until I got to West Point, Mississippi, after I got out of the Marine Corps. I was working for a Learjet at that time. I went down to West Point, Mississippi to visit my brother, who had become a Baptist. I couldn't believe it, why he became a Baptist. But anyway, I went down there to explain more to him, to give him a better understanding of the church. The Catholic Church. So I went down there, and I ran into a man by the name of James Ramsey. James Ramsey was his pastor, and he came, and we talked about my car, a little sports car that I had. We talked about a lot of things, and then he said, well, you know, it's about lunchtime. I got to go home. My wife's got dinner on the table, you know, and he said, but I got to ask you a question. If you die tonight, do you know where you'd spend eternity? And I said, oh, no, you can't know that. And he said, oh, can I show you in the Bible that you can know that you have eternal life? He'll believe the Bible. I told him, yeah, I would believe if it was in the Bible, I could believe it. So he showed me in the Word of God. But, you know, I noticed one thing about him. He had compassion for me. And, you know, I realized then my Savior had compassion for me. He looked beyond all my faults and saw my need. That's what changes us. We realize God cares. And this is what happened this day. You know, the Bible doesn't tell us anything about this widow other than she had a son, only son, and he was dead. And then we see that the Lord came along and he had compassion for her. And he told her, this is kind of a hard saying, he told her, weep not. I mean, here she is weeping. I mean, she lost everything she had, her only son here, and he's died. And the Lord tells her, weep not. And the Bible says in verse 14, I think makes a whole difference. And it says, and he came and touched the bier. He touched him. That's what God does to do, with us when the Holy Spirit comes to us and touches our hearts and we realize that we're lost and on the road to hell. When I realized that, when I got that touch from the Holy Spirit, I knew all the things that I'd believed in the past were come down to the book. What did the book say? Book said that all has sinned and come short of the glory of God. When the preacher told me that, I laughed at him and I said, I know that. I've been around enough. I know. I have never seen a perfect person, somebody that has not sinned. I mean, we can just look around us that we have sinners right here in the church right now. I know there are people here. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we have, the Lord had compassion, but we were touched by the Holy Spirit. Here he touches the bier, and they, it says, and they that bear him stood still. When he touched it, they stood still. I mean, they were marching out the gate here, and all of a sudden he touched them. It was like, oh, it was stopped. Something stopped them. I believe it stopped because the Lord touched him there. And it says, and I think we need to realize that his touch is different. You've heard probably the poem or the song about the man that goes to goes to the auctioneer, and they have that old violin. He holds the violin. Who's going to bet on this old violin? And they looked at it, and it's just an old violin. And they got $2, $1, you know, $3, and he couldn't get anything out of it. All of a sudden, the man from the back walked up, and he took that violin. He tightened the strings. He got it all right, and then he began to play. And as the melody went out, people realized that old violin was a Stradivarius. I mean, it was beautiful music coming out of it. And they realized, and they said, what's the difference? And they began to bid $1,000, $2,000, $3,000. Everybody began to bid on it. And they said, what was the difference? The touch of the master's hand. That's what happened here. The master stopped him right in the middle of the procession and said, let's stop right here. And the Lord touched him. And the Bible says here in verse 14, the last part, and he said, the Lord's going to speak. And when the Lord speaks, things change. He said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And I think when we look at that and we go past that word I, who is I here? He is the great I am. The I am that spoke to Moses in the desert. He's the great I am that spoke and said, I am he to the people, people that came in to arrest him, and they all fell down backwards. He's the great I am. And so we see the young man said, I say unto thee, arise. It's amazing. We can go to John chapter 11. See another account. This is my Savior. He's the one that's able to do these things. John chapter 11, we read there about a man that has died. He has two sisters, Mary and Martha, and they call for Jesus, and he didn't come at first, but then when he did come, it says verse 20. He told his disciples up in verse 14, Lazarus is dead. He had to kind of be explained to them why they were going, Lazarus is dead. And so in verse 20, it says, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. There's some things, sometimes we need to sit still and wait for Jesus. Wait for him. And then it says, then said Martha unto Jesus, she went down to see the Lord. Said, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother would not have died. She knew that if Jesus was in the area, he could have healed Lazarus. She's seen him heal a lot of people. Why didn't he come to heal her brother? And he says, but I know that Martha says this, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. And Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. He tells her, your brother's going to rise again. Of course, Martha, she's studied with him. She knows what he's talking about. And she says, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day. We're looking forward to that day when all the dead in Christ shall rise first. And I believe she was looking forward to that resurrection day. But then Jesus goes on and explains it to her a little bit more so that Martha really understands. And he says unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. There's that I am again. You see that? I'll just love that. Every time I see it in the Bible, I want to circle it. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Then he asks that great question, believest thou this? He gets right down to her and said, now, Martha, do you believe this? Do you believe it? And she said unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which shall come unto the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. Now, this is an interesting thing. Mary sat behind. She was still. She was there with the people and mourning for Lazarus, her brother. I believe that Mary knew that Jesus could do, just like Martha, that she knew she had the belief, but she waited for Jesus to call her. Sometimes we just, we're going through situations and times in our lives. We don't know exactly what's going on. And sometimes it's good to be still and know that I'm God. It says in Psalms 46. So we need to be still and know that he's God. And so now the Lord's called Mary. And of course, Mary goes to him and let's see, the next verse 28 says, and when she had said, she went her way and called Mary, and verse 29, as soon as she had heard, she arose quickly and came to him. Now Jesus, was not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. The Jews, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, she arose and hastened, followed her, saying she goeth to the grave. That's what they're thinking. But she knows where she's going. She's going to Jesus. Jesus had called her. Jesus was the comforter. He was the place that she could go. He's the one that's going to have compassion on her and Martha. And she knew where to go. And when... Then when Mary had came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet. She wanted to worship him, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Now, isn't that exactly what Martha said? She thought the same thing Martha was thinking. But the Lord goes on and tells her here, it would not died. And when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? Then they said unto him, Lord, come and see. Now, you know, the Lord knew exactly where they laid him. If he wanted to, he could have went right on and been there. But he wanted her to realize, where did you lay him? Because Lord knows he's not there. That's just the body. And so, hey, where did you lay him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. And the Bible says, that very easy verse to memorize, Jesus wept. Jesus wept. Why? He had compassion on them, just like he did the young man's mother who came out on that funeral. He had compassion on them. It's because we serve a Lord, a God that is a compassionate God. We see that things, the terrible things that happen, wars and all kinds of things that happen, but we have a compassionate God. He's compassionate. He saw her need, and he saw what was going on, the groaning that she had. In the Bible says here that he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, where did you lay him? And then the Bible, verse 35 says, and Jesus wept. And then we know that Jesus comes to the grave site here, and verse 38 says, Jesus therefore again groaned in himself. Cometh to the grave. It was a cave with a stone laid upon it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. And Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. She was thinking, it's beyond the part of the understanding here that this man can be can be raised from the dead. It's been 4 days. She doesn't realize how what a great God she has here. He's having compassion on her. And the Lord, by this time, he's thinking for it. Then verse 40 says, and Jesus said unto her, say I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shalt see the glory of God? I told you, Mary, that I'm the resurrection. He told her, remember what I said? I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Did you remember that, Mary? I just told you that just a little bit ago. I can do this. I can raise him from the dead. And the Bible says that you'll see the glory of God. It says, and they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I say it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And he's telling, want them, Lord, to understand you're the one that sent me. In John, the gospel tells us, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Here's God standing there with him, and he's telling, I want them to know who I am. And he goes on to say in verse 43, and when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Isn't it interesting in Luke chapter 7? He said specifically, young man, I say unto thee, arise. He spoke to him personally. And we can look back and further in just a minute here. We'll go back to Mark chapter 5. We see another resurrection here. Mark chapter 5, talking about Jairus' daughter. Mark chapter 5, and around verse 41. And we know the story coming up to here. Someone had touched the Lord's garments, and she was healed as he was coming to Jairus' house. And Jairus comes, and then a servant comes and tells him, don't bother the master because your daughter's dead. And, of course, Jesus goes on to the house, and he said in verse 34, it says, and he said unto her, daughter, thy faith has made thee. They're talking about the woman that was healed. That's the wrong place. And Jesus does here, I said, I'll get down to it here in a minute. In verse 38, and it says, and he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and said unto seeth the tumult and them that weep and wail greatly. Now that was a very common thing in Jewish death and burial, the weeping and the wailing. It goes on even today. I think probably one of the interesting things to look at, and I've looked into, I like to look into funerals and see what's going on and everything. Because I think the easiest funeral would be a Jewish funeral. You know, normally they bury the person with 24 hours after their death, and they do the ceremonies and the celebrating a year later. I think that's kind of a good deal. And they're they don't, embalm. They don't do any of those things. I'm all for that. But anyway, I tell my wife that all the time, so she knows the plan. So they do that. Not only do they weep and wail, they rent their clothes. They wear sackcloth and mourning. It's a part of mourning that they do, but... we see here all this mourning was going on and everything, and he entered into the house, and they see the weeping and wailing. Verse 39 says, when he was come in, he said unto them, why makest thou all this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. In other words, they knew better than he did. They know she's dead. And they laughed, and so laughed him to scorn. In verse 41, says, and he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Tamalath Kumath, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with a great astonishment. The same thing we'll read here in chapter 7 of Luke. When this happened, the Bible tells us that when the young man sat up, he spake and he delivered him to his mother in verse 15. And it says, when they came, fear fell on all, and the glory of God, saying that this great prophet is risen up among us, and that God has visited his people. They realized something had taken place. And the Bible goes on to say in verse 17, the rumor continued throughout all the region around, and people heard of how he raised this young man, had compassion on his mother. And that's what I'm saying in this whole thing. The Lord is showing his compassion. And that's the way what he does when he heals people. And raise the dead here. Jairus's daughter, the same way with Lazarus. He had compassion on them, and he has compassion on us. And we need to realize we have a compassionate God. So let's bow our heads for a word of prayer, and we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we are thankful that we have a great God that loves us and cares for us and shows us compassion. Lord, you love us. You show us your grace, your mercy. And Lord, your kindness, your blessings that you give us every day, Lord, we just take them for granted. But Lord, you love us, and we're so thankful for that. Father, I pray that you be with the service to come, be with our pastor as he comes, opens your word today. I pray that you hide him behind the cross, Lord, that you might be uplifted and glorified. We're thankful, Lord, for your word that's a strength to us. Father, we're thankful for all you do for us. So many times, Lord, in this world, we look around and say, what's happening? What's going on? This is not the way it should be. But yet, Lord, you know. You're a compassionate God. You know what's going on. You know, you control all these things. So, Father, we look to you for guidance and direction today. I pray you hide the pastor behind the cross, Lord, that as he preaches, your word would be lifted up. You would be honored and glorified and magnify thy name today. We ask in thy son's name, in the precious and holy name of Jesus. Amen. All right, you're dismissed.